You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 5th of February. The Jazz pull up 2 improbable wins over the weekend, and Royce O'Neal and Ricky Rubio lead the way in San Antonio. The trade deadline is looming Thursday. Let's look at past deals to see what the market might yield and who's available on this year's flooded market. Plus, an NBA 5. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. So glad to be with you. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast about the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, a little look behind the curtains, and some geeky numbers you probably would not get anywhere else. Today's show is brought to you by the Advocates, as well as Intercap Lending. Intercap Lending is giving you your appraisal for free for being a Locked On Jazz listener. That is pretty incredible. Appraisal for free for being a Locked On Jazz listener. Really pretty hard to quibble about that in any way. All right, let's get to it. Jazz, 2 wins over the weekend, Phoenix and against the San Antonio Spurs, and both impressive in their own right. The Jazz coming off the awesome win over Golden State, go and play a crappy Phoenix team. You know, the two complaints we've had about the Jazz this year from a lot of different people are, one, that the Jazz are not a particularly good road team, and two, that they're not particularly consistent. Well, I kind of brought the point that, as we've learned, that maybe until Rudy's back, we probably shouldn't criticize them for any of these things anymore. What they are right now is they're a confident bunch. And when they're a confident bunch, you end up you end up overcoming some of these things. And they're playing together, and they're playing with a really focused approach. The Golden State game was 48 minutes of concentration that led to a remarkable win, and that level of concentration has carried over into the last 2 games. It's almost as though they learned how to do something. And so what did they learn how to do? Follow the game plan, believe the game plan, and stay together. In Phoenix, they're playing an inferior team, right? We've got that. That's not a big mystery to anyone. And when playing that inferior team, they blow them out of the water. Phoenix was terrible, has a level of dysfunction. They had players checking themselves in and out of games, or at least in, out. And then they had Marquise Chris getting in a fight with a coach. And I mean, they're a mess. But the Jazz came out in that game. Donovan was incredible, and the Jazz took it to them impressively, you know, because there's a level to, one, not keep, you know, if you look at Phoenix, if you keep them in the game, that's when, if they get ahead, they're front-running team, and if they let them front-run a little bit, then they'll get you. So just a quick scan at that game. Everything was brilliant. The offensive rating was a 131. The defensive rating was a 99. It was a high-paced game, and Donovan was ridiculous with 40, but so was everybody. The Jazz hit 15 of 29 from threes, and right now, you know, the Jazz season has largely gone based on, we talk about a lot, make or miss, but there was, you know, if you look at the Jazz, there's a period of time where they were 30th in the league in three-point shooting, and they're 6th in the league overall, which is a pretty wild discrepancy. And right now, we're as hot as any team in the league for 3 straight games. So at some point, the odds say we're probably not a 50% three-point shooting team. It's going to come back and bite us. But over the last 5 games, we're shooting 46% from 3. In fact, if you look at games 1 through 10, we were 37. Games 11 through 20, we were 39. Then we spiked games 21 through 30, went to 42. Then on 31 through 40, we went to 30% and went 2-8. Then we came back to 36%, went 6-4. And now we're, over the last 2, we're at 52%. But So we're about a 37% three-point shooting team. We just have had some spikes around there. We're in the midst of one of those spikes right now. But overall, just Phoenix was just solid in the sense that they just blew out a team that they're supposed to. The next night, and they made their open looks. The next night's the one that just wows you. We had plane trouble leaving Phoenix. We took off. We're flying, and we've been flying for like, 15, 20 minutes. Bowler Jack, who's kind of into this stuff, pays attention, says, "Hey, guys, you realize we haven't really gotten over 10,000 feet? And I hear that Johnny Bryant was in the front of the plane saying to Antonio Lang, "This don't sound right. This does not sound right. This does not sound right." Quinn kind of noticed there were a lot of lights, and Quinn doesn't like to fly, so he was hovering around. And next thing you know, we had a flap we couldn't get down, so we had too much drag, burning too much fuel, so we circle back. We sit on the tarmac for, I don't really actually know because I was kind of in and out of sleep, for about an hour and a half or so. We get on a new plane, and we arrive in San Antonio at 5:30 and get to our hotel and get to bed by 6. And the guys turn around and play an incredible game against San Antonio and win 120-111. The game gets into clutch time against the number one clutch team in the NBA. The Spurs are the number one clutch team in the NBA. That's how they've been winning. And the Jazz, who have not been great in clutch and are without Donovan Mitchell, fight through it and get the win. And this was a pure offensive win. The offensive rating was a 124. The defensive rating was a 114.8. And that's probably what you have to get at that point in time. Because you're spent. You're playing on fumes. And they're not the most athletic bunch, which is good. You're not playing an athletic team in the Spurs, but you're playing a precision team. And defensively, you're probably not at the level to be able to get that done. And instead, the Jazz have an incredible offensive night. And it is led by a performance by Ricky Rubio, in which Ricky Rubio hits 10 of his first 10 shots. Rubio's just been terrific. And to me, the key on Rubio that is taking place here is the layups. What I'm seeing from Ricky Rubio is the layup shooting changes everything. When he makes, and traditionally, if you don't know the backstory on this, he has been one of the worst layup shooters in the NBA. And layups, when we think of layups, we all think about the layup line we did as a kid. They're actually, it's a pretty complicated shot. You're going full speed toward the basket. You got big guys all around. You got a very small shooting window. And you've got to find a way to get that shot off. And when you do, I forgot to reset my password for StatsCube, and so I can't get you my last piece of information here. So on Rubio, I don't have the last night's updated numbers. I'll have to. I even had a calendar reminder telling me to do this. This is really kind of silly on my end. So on Rubio, I don't have the last San Antonio game numbers. He hits his first two outside shots, then he hits his two threes, and then he hits a layup. And so definitely in the San Antonio game, there's a level that he got his confidence by hitting two mid-range shots. But what I'm seeing is when he makes his layup, and Quincy Lewis, when he was in town, kind of pointed this out, that it opens up so many other things for him. So when he makes his layup, one of the things that happens is then when he, first of all, there's a willingness on his part to aggressively drive to the basket. There was a play in San Antonio where in the open floor, he, in a transition set, I think he would usually, he's been this year kind of curling out because he doesn't want to go to the basket and miss the layup. He doesn't have the confidence. This time he drove at the guy, drew the foul. Other times he's working on the pick and roll and he's driving with a level of aggressiveness right now, because if he can get to the basket, he's willing to take the shot, where when he doesn't feel comfortable getting the basket. Then he kind of backs it out a little bit and ends up without a real threat to the basket, which hurts the roll and the other things. And then the last is the Nash dribble, where when he's aggressively going to the basket, feeling good about himself, he goes into the basket and then circles out the other side. He's coming with a level of force that forces the defense to react to it. And that's where he just, to me, is a different player right now. And the exciting part about that with Rubio is that if, in fact, I'm right on this, there's a chance it's more sustainable than what we've seen prior. Because if, in fact, what we're seeing out of him right now is that the layup making is opening up everything else, then there's a chance that this is maintained, that this sustains. The Spurs game, though, was just, again, there's a beauty in this league. We talk about a lot towards other teams where you go win a bunch of games in a row and you start to believe in who you are and you just play with a level of confidence. The talent level is so high that if you're not one of the best four teams in the league that can just overwhelm you with talent, it's so interesting how much it matters if your team is playing with a belief. And right now we're playing with a belief. I think the fatigue may come back and bite us tonight. I can just tell you that this morning that I felt pretty brutal. And so that San Antonio may carry over into tonight, and tonight's a big game. So we'll, and we're in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. It's a little nutty here right now. So hopefully we'll see if the guys can come through for that. Today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending, which is a 40-year mortgage company. Intercap Lending has recently moved their headquarters to Utah. They still do loans in 44 different states, and they really thrive on two different aspects. One thing Intercap Lending does a really, really good job with as a direct lender is if you are having a difficult loan, so low credit, self-employment, business assets, multiple properties, all the little things that in the not as flexible system of the banking world that can cause you some problems, Intercap Lending can help you out. So that's area one where Intercap Lending really does cool, valuable things to you. They also do a ton of work with veterans. So military, if you come back and you're looking, Intercap Lending's got some systems in place to help you out with that. And the final thing that we joke about, Steve Carter, is over at Intercap Lending, is they've tried to turn mortgage lending into ordering a pizza. Like right now, you can just go on your app and order a pizza and it comes to you. Well, this is not quite as simple as there are some government regulations, but it's not that far off. To download the Intercap Lending app, you can actually pre-qualify without talking to anyone, which is pretty important in this hot market right now. And then as you go through the process, you use the app. And while I still have great interaction with Steve, and you're going to want to as well because they're giving you a free appraisal for you with your mortgage, it's incredible. You download the app. It walks you through the whole single process, has your online application right there. And then during the process, it will update you of where you are, where your loan is, what are the things that have taken place, what's taking place next. Mine says 8 of 8, funding, taken care of. Gives you, has a list for you when you first start of all the requested documents, the 22 different documents that existed that they needed. I took little pictures of them and sent them all in. It was incredibly simple and easy. It's really impressive. And Intercap Lending is giving you, as a Locked On Jazz listener, a free appraisal. 385-885-28. That's Steve Carter at 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Let me say that again because I just screwed it up. 385-885-28. Download the Intercap Lending app. I want to talk about Royce O'Neal before we get into the trade deadline stuff. Royce O'Neal really is becoming a pretty cool story. At camp, it was clear. I had coaches throughout training camp tell me that this kid's a rotation player. He's ready to go. What he really can do is he can pass. And when you can pass, you can get yourself out of trouble. That is probably one of the areas that's just not talked about enough. that if you are able to pass the basketball, you can take yourself into a situation and then get yourself out of that situation. The other thing that he's just terrifically aggressive in the open floor. Physical defender, getting in on guys. But it's a great story. So he goes to Baylor out of the University of Denver. He goes over to the overseas. I believe I heard our scout Bart Taylor saw him there. The Jazz invite him to one of the free agent camps that Dennis Lindsay and the Jazz have been having over these years. At that free agent camp, he actually gets his tooth knocked out, and he's not there for a particularly long period of time. He goes to Summer League and plays pretty well at Summer League this year, showing a level of toughness and ability to move the basketball. Dennis Lindsay, Quinn Snyder, and the crew see him at Summer League and then sign him to a new deal. And really been pretty terrific. He has got an element of versatility to him at 6'6" and ball handling and passing. And the question is he going to be able to knock down enough shots? And recently, that answer has been really simple. He hit 2 of 2 corner threes in the fourth quarter of the other night. They were both mammoth. Both times the games were down to one possession. Jazz had the ball. He hit a three going back the other way. And then his steal late in the game in San Antonio clinches the game. It actually was very reminiscent of, do you remember the play Chris Johnson made in Chicago? A few years ago, Chris Johnson made a play in Chicago to win a game when he jumped a passing lane and grabbed the rebound. And then I don't remember if he hit the three or kicked out to someone, but the offensive rebound was the key. It was a very similar kind of position and role that Royce played last night or two nights ago. 24 years old, great kid, probably Donovan's closest friend on the team, spends a huge amount of time with Donovan. They both live in the same complex. Right now he's really playing very well. And I think somehow he's made Alec Burks a better player. Alec Burks is watching him play, and AB's playing a little bit of a different game right now. He opened the year 4 of his first 14 from 3. So he wasn't great to start the year. He then went 9 of his next 24 and 7 of his next 20. And now right now he's hot. But that's but if he can be a 35-36% three-point shooter, that'll get it done. So it's a nice find, and there's just a collective ball movement aspect to what's going on with the Jazz, and he's a large part of it. Rodney came back the other night on a minutes restriction and hit 2 big buckets. Hit 2 big, important buckets for the Jazz in that ballgame. All right, let's go to the trade deadline. There's 202 things here. NBA 5 is probably going to be a little different today. I wanted to touch on the available players. Last night I was just taking a look, and it's interesting. So if you think about this from Dennis Lindsay in the front office standpoint, so we have Rodney Hood, who's probably available, and we have Derek Favor, who's seemingly may be available. Here are the other big men that are either similar or different to Derek Favors in the sense they're 4 or 5s. That are rumored, I don't know this for a fact, but I went through every rumor I could find last night, are rumored to be available. Okay? And the game you got to play here is, where does Derek fit in this mix? So Marvin Williams, Robin Lopez, Kenneth Faried, Stanley Johnson, definitely more 4 out of 5, DeAndre Jordan, Julius Randle, Marcus Gasol, which I do think is available, Dwayne Dedmon, Kyle O'Quinn, Gorgui Dieng, Minnesota, Aaron Gordon, Orlando, Alex Len, Phoenix, and Noah Vonleh. So there are 13 with Favors, 14 potential pieces to be moved and probably three landing locations at this point. Maybe not even that. And so that's going to be the trick for Dennis Lindsay in the front office, is navigating the environment in such a manner that you can get a deal done for your guy when there's 13 of them available, and honestly, hard to go get a lot of value when, if you're sitting there saying, we'll give you this, and Chicago has Robin Lopez sitting back there, who's either, in your mind, Derek's better or about the same or whatever your evaluation is, assuming that they think Derek is better, but they think Derek is a first-round pick better rather than 2 seconds for Robin Lopez. On the Rodney Hood end, the following shooting guards seem to be rumored to be available. Marco Bellinelli. And again, just every time I say a name, ask yourself, is Rodney better than this player? Marco Bellinelli, Joe Harris, who's having a great year, Wesley Matthews, Evan Fournier, Lou Williams, Jordan Clarkson, Tyreek Evans, Avery Bradley, Mario Hezonja, and Malachi Richardson. And again, same game here. How many teams are really looking for a shooting guard or a wing? Probably most. If you can go get Joe Harris, unrestricted free agent, for 2 seconds, are you giving up? Is Rodney Hood that much better that you need to give up a first? Jordan Clarkson. You can get Jordan Clarkson for what compared to Rodney Hood, or who's better? That's a huge question as we move forward. We'll look at some of the past deals next to see whether of what deals have yielded in the past years. And that's actually pretty optimistic. What I just did right there is pretty pessimistic. But we'll look at some of the past deals and see whether or not you think the Jazz can replicate any of those and give you an idea of what you might be able to see coming your direction in the upcoming market. But first, I want to tell you about the Advocates. The Advocates, actually kind of to the point of trade market and looking at the trade market, the Advocates have looked at, in their mind, every accident. The Advocates, by the way, are a 25-year-old Utah company, utahadvocates.com, that are injury attorneys working almost exclusively in car accidents. And so if you think about what we were just talking about, you kind of weigh things out and figure out the process of what's going on. That's what they've done. Over 25 years, they've built a 106-step process to make sure you get good results, make sure nothing bad happens to you along the way, and make sure that you get communicated with very, very well during the process. The structure works in a certain fashion. So that the accident happens, you call the Advocates at 801-355-5550. An attorney calls you back within a minute, within 60 seconds. Now, they map out the best experience for you. In that mapping it out, you end up with 106 steps that the Advocates have learned take place in every single accident. And in those steps along the way, the attorney's talking to you and communicating with you, but there's a hospital specialist. There's an insurance specialist. There's multiple people at the Advocates who just do those singular items that happen in every single accident, dealing with the insurance company. And that's what gives the Advocates their edge and makes them special, is that through that process, they create productivity, communication, they expedite the process and get you the best results. 801-355-5550. It's 801-355-5550. All right, here's the deals that have gone down over the past 2 years. Talking to people around the league, there's a few things of importance. One is, the word is that a first-round draft pick, if you want a first-round draft pick, you actually, and you're going to eat salary, it's somewhere around the range of $13 million right now. If you think about it, a moment ago, Chicago got a first-round draft pick for eating Omer Asik's contract and giving up Nikolai Mirotic. So who's pretty good. So the market right now feels pretty tough on the team that's the seller. Feels pretty good for the buyer, right? New Orleans got a good player and got out from under a $13 million, a big contract to Omar Asik, cost him a first-round pick. So first-round pick value right now feels very, very high. I'm going to tell you about a player. You have to kind of decide where you think that that player matches to Rodney Hood or not, or to Derek Favors or not. And try to, just if you're trying to figure out what the market for the two most talked about traded players for the Jets. And maybe the Jazz aren't going to move either. Right? Maybe the Jazz are playing well enough right now that they decide not to. Maybe there's some feeling that either of them's more interested in coming back, or you're more interested in getting them back. We'll have to see. But last year, P.J. Tucker was traded for 2 seconds. Bojan Bogdanović, who's pretty darn good, was traded for a first-round draft pick. So that one's interesting. Can you replicate that trade? Bogdanović went to Washington for a first-round pick. There were a few other pieces there. But that was the basic structure of that deal. The Nets took Marcus Thornton, Andre Nicholson, and got a first round pick for Bogdanović and Chris McCullough. So basically Bogdanović first round pick. Lou Williams yielded a first-round pick last year. The Lakers got a low first from the Rockets. Serge Ibaka got Terrence Ross, who's a good young player, and a first-round pick in an early February 14th deal, about 7 days before the deadline. Nerlens Noel got a first-round pick, protected, but he got a first-round pick. Roy Hibbert got a second, and Ilyasova got a protected second. So that was the market last year for bigs. Here's the market for guards last year. Randy Foy got 2 seconds, or 2 years ago. Sorry, now we're 2 years ago. And that was the market last year. This is the market 2 years ago. Randy Foy got 2 seconds. Jeff Green got a protected first. This was in 15-16. Markieff Morris, who had years left on his deal, got a first-round pick. Shelvin Mack, a second. Channing Frye, a first, to Portland via Cleveland, so a very late pick. Some seconds floated around that deal also. And Courtney Lee, who actually I think is probably the best comp to Rodney Hood of anyone here, got 4 seconds. So though that's the trade market that we've seen the last 2 years at this point for players. And that's probably what we should be looking at and thinking whether or not you can get it. The Goran Dragic, 3 first-round picks of the year prior, I'm not sure you're getting. The Jazz traded Enes Kanter and got a first, a second, and Tibor Pleiss. So a first and a second. I'm not sure that we can. Aaron Aflalo was actually pretty incredible. Denver got Will Barton and a protected first. Pretty huge deal. So The Suns for and the Boston for Isaiah Thomas gave up a first. I think the 14-15 trade market does not exist anymore. I think those other two trade markets are what we have. That is Locked On Jazz for today. Hope you enjoyed. Brought to you by Intercap Lending as well as the Advocates. Have a great day. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.